You're listening to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. We turn now to our series, Minding Michigan, as we focus on mental health and wellness. The holidays can be a happy time, but putting family members around the Thanksgiving table can also resurrect tensions and old resentments. And this year, we're struggling with the aftermath of the election. Some people are jubilant, some are fearful and angry. So it is pretty easy to envision people eyeing each other suspiciously across the Thanksgiving dinner table. Let's get some ideas for turning down the conflict as we say hello now to Michigan State University psychiatrist, Dr. Farha Abbasi. It's good to have you back, Dr. Abbasi.
It's good to be back, Cynthia. Thank you.
Dr. Abbasi, when we think about the way people feel at Thanksgiving, it is about coming together. It was the roots of the whole holiday, wasn't it?
Absolutely. So this was initially, this tradition was brought by an immigrant group which was fleeing religious persecution. These were pilgrims and Puritans coming from England. And this was a very religious celebration where they would celebrate harvest and there was days of harvesting that was celebrated. But the tradition was that the host and the immigrants, they all came together and break bread.
And together. So here we are in these turbulent and divisive days after this election. Let's say somebody voted one way in the election and knows his entire family voted the other way. And he's really torn because he feels so deeply about the election, about how it turned out, and suddenly looking at family members with new eyes and doesn't feel good. So how do you approach the holiday that is supposed to be about giving thanks when you're in that frame of mind?
We definitely are all recovering from the jarring and toxic demagoguery of the recent election. I do see friendships have been broken, relationships have been strained, and people are struggling to sit across tables with friends and family who voted differently. I personally feel it almost feels like we have reaped this harvest of hate and we are in winter of our discontent. First of all, as a mental health provider, I want to talk more about what conflict is. Conflict is always deeper than just a mere disagreement. It is very deep-seated. Parties feel or perceive a threat to their well-being and survival. And people tend to feel guarded, react emotionally, and these end up intensifying arguments and invariably hurting each other more. So given Thanksgiving is seeped into the tradition of sharing and love and harmony, but I always feel that even a meal prepared with a lot of love and care can taste like sawdust if the ambience surrounding it is acrylic and angry.
Dr. Abbasi, would you spell out your recipe for a conflict-free Thanksgiving?
Here's my recipe for a conflict-free Thanksgiving, Cynthia. So first of all, I do feel that it's very important to practice mindfulness these days. And mindfulness literally means being in the moment, focusing on the moment. And remember, everyone is there to share a meal and celebrate. And to me, arguments are like salt. Little bit of salt is always very tasty, which is like having a healthy debate. But excessive and uncontrolled amount makes you more sick than feel better.
Certainly.
Acknowledging one's emotion is important, but knee-jerk responses are like sugar and carbs. They feel sweet for a moment, but overindulgence can leave one with a lot of guilt and regret. So I feel turkey and laughter both are good mood foods. You know, most of our serotonin receptors are in our stomach. So when you eat turkey, you feel good and it increases serotonin. And having laughter cuts the tension. So have a lot of laughter while you are carving that turkey.
Let's hope that people will do that. That's kind of where we're at, is we hope people will be open to doing that.
Absolutely. And on top of that, I feel smiles are contagious. They are like these baked croissants, warm out of the oven. They can warm your tummy. They can warm your soul. So smiles should be shared generously. And on top, sprinkle some gratitude on every hot cup of coffee you are going to drink this Thanksgiving. And share this joy by volunteering in your community. And in the end, I would say the cherry on Thanksgiving pie has to be honoring our indigenous communities and by donating to relevant and worthy causes.
That's a good recipe. Now, here's the question. What are the best steps to take if we're at the table and tensions rise and an argument arises? You know, somebody just can't resist the moment.
I would say that you need to focus on the words, not the person. Make it about the discussion, not about the person. Don't start attacking the person. And then if you feel that the things are getting out of hand, you need to step away from it and at least try and listen actively to what the other person is trying to bring. Because I feel most of the time these arguments become heated because the other party is feeling completely invalidated or is feeling that their needs are not being met.
I would suspect a good place to start might be for the host to kindly say, let's keep this dinner a politics-free zone.
I wish we could go to that, but to some people, this has become such an important election. It has become about who they are going to be and how they are going to proceed. But another thing is we can turn this into a moment for growth, a moment for possibilities. So we can really turn every problem into a possibility and try and work through this.
Dr. Farah Abbasi, we want to thank you very much. Appreciate your Thanksgiving tips and your recipe for a conflict-free Thanksgiving. And happy Thanksgiving to you.
Same to you, Cynthia, and to your listeners. I hope we all have a wonderful, soul-filling and stomach-filling Thanksgiving. Thank you.